T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Scrappy, that's one of my that segment right there, that open right there is one of my favorites. Just so you know, I like that one.
I'll mark it.
A bunch of
the guy's
blunders
name
by
is
Chris
Duke
and I.
Kahanamoku, by the way.
It was not.
Yes, it was.
No, it was not.
It is. Look it up. I missed it by like 10 miles on the pronunciation. But I'm just telling you that there is such a guy who's a famous surfer from Hawaii named Duke Kahanamoku.
Oh, I thought you were talking about dang it, I forgot the guy's name now, the king. Let me just struggle.
Okay, anyway, while you try to figure out the king's name. Yeah. Just real question to our listener, are you registered and ready to vote? Find out and register if you need to at vote411.org. You can register online by mail through Monday, October 19th. Have a plan to vote on November 3rd. Vote. Make it count. Go to vote411.org. Also coming up at 5 o'clock, we are going to be qualifying listeners for our Gwen and Chris Vegas vacation contest. All you need to do is answer questions. answer a question about something from today's Gwen and Chris show. If you know the answer, you can qualify for a chance to win a 3-night stay with a round of golf for two and a $250 food and beverage credit at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. All right, 3 o'clock hour, we got Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show coming up in a little bit later. But right now, get to the phone lines. We got some more folks out there wanting to get their Padre talk off their chest. We'll go to Wendell. Wendell, happy Friday to you. Welcome to the show. Floor is yours.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I'm a lifelong Cubs fan, so I think I'm eminently qualified to go through these autopsies of a season. And the Padres fans should really be proud. The Padres are my adopted team, other than if you play the Cubs. And so I want to congratulate the Padres and the organization. Being a champion means being a champion from top to bottom. And you guys are a championship radio station, so that's in place. The Padre fans have to, learn to be champions as well. And I have one question and one comment, and then I'll get off. Out of honor of the Padre's great season, I didn't call in for Mr. Scravey. You guys had the quiz show that you had this summer, and he had a question about the golfing that Alan Shepard did on the moon. So I was really impressed that Scravey, knew that golf is actually the first interplanetary sport. But he hit it. It was Apollo 14. He didn't hit it at the Sea of Tranquility. That was Apollo 11. Apollo 14 landed at Frau Mauro Highland.
Oh, yeah, I know that place.
That's a technicality. And the question is, 2020 is just incredible. In the old days, they would divide up the championship money. So if the Dodgers win, the Padres would get championship money. But with no fans in the stands, I don't know how they're going to divide up the championship money. So if you guys could, if you know the answer to that, I'll take your answer off the air.
Okay, well, Great phone call, Wendell. By the way,
thank you, Wendell.
Scraby getting some love there from Wendell. I'm sure Scraby appreciated it.
The Frau Mora Highlands are great this time of year.
You know what's cool is he gave Scraby some love, but at the same time he pointed out an error made by Scraby.
I don't think that's what he was doing. The Frau Mora Highlands are, I told you, they're great this time of year.
Yeah.
Really. Generally speaking, playoff shares. There are no salaries once playoffs start. You only go get the money that however far your team advances. So the Padre players got to the division series. They get their pool of whatever that amount of money is. The World Series champ, each player I think usually takes home somewhere around like $200,000, maybe a little bit more if they win it all. Mm-hmm. Depending how many games the series goes, it varies from year to year. Not sure what this year is going to look like. I don't think anybody knows yet, but I do believe that there are still some shares to be had from teams that advance. So Padres, for the first time in a while, are partaking in this shares that they haven't done since really 2006. So good phone call, Wendell. Let's jump back into the phone lines. We'll go to Preston. Preston, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Friday to you.
Hey, happy Friday, guys. Just really thankful for what you guys are doing in this time of reflection as Padre fans. A couple questions I had was, how are the Padres, you know, with the new management, with this new culture that we've kind of contrived this season, how do they work with that in the offseason? You know, what are they going to take care of? Some of these older guys are some vets, you know, possibly on the fringe for being traded, you know, talks about movements, you know, how do we keep this together? And, you know, I really like the attitude of Tatis and Machado now kind of finding his place. He seems really happy here in San Diego. You know, how do we find that consistency and that glue in that off season? Because I know the moment those guys walked off the field last night watching them, you know, a lot of them weren't finished. So, yeah. You know, speaking to some of your experience, you know, what do you think needs to happen? And what do you think will happen?
Preston, thank you for the phone call. Love good questions like this. And this kind of speaks to what Chris was talking about earlier. I think the Padres have to be careful because they are really just establishing this mindset, this type of attitude that they have. You got to be careful who you bring into your locker room because everybody is not going to be able to be molded into this new brand, this new way of playing the game, Chris. And you know, you don't want to upset the apple cart, right? You don't want to bring in somebody that doesn't fit. The Padres are really big on makeup. They talk about it all the time. When they were going through these drafts over the last 3-4 years, that is the main thing they have. They wanted to draft guys obviously who had the skills, but the makeup is important, and that goes for whoever you bring in as a free agent. Now how that goes, I don't know. I think clearly it's a catch-22 for the Padres right now, right? Because you look at this series against Dodgers, and the thing that stands out is obviously starting pitching, right? But you also have to realize there's two starting pitches that weren't there. And if you want to bring in somebody, even if it's not Trevor Bauer, it's somebody who's not going to cost you as much. Are you willing to block rotation spots from the young pitchers that you have coming up? Remember, that was why they weren't really active in the free agent list last year was because they didn't want to block any of their young starting pitching. That same young starting pitching is still coming up. We actually got a glimpse of a few of them, right? Patino, Mordejon, one of those guys. And so you don't want to block that, but at the same time, you want to be getting better to take those next steps. I think the other spot the Padres will address is just pure depth, right? You want to have guys that can come in and you not really have any drop-off at all. And I think the Padres had that for the most part, but they're not as deep. They could add a few more of those type of guys. So it'll be interesting to see because there was a lot of guys brought in who probably will be free agents at the end of the year. I think Greg Garcia is going to be a free agent, if I'm not mistaken. So there's going to be some definite questions to be answered here. Free agent. At this point, it's hard to say because you don't really know where everybody's at in terms of qualifying offers and things of that nature. So, Chris, what's your thoughts?
Well, I think that there's not a lot of room for starting spots on this Padre ball club.
Right.
I mean, I look around. I mean, I don't want to replace Tommy Pham. I don't want to replace Trent Grisham, Myers, Hosmer, Cronenworth, Tatis, Machado, Nola. I'm pretty happy with everybody. I'm pretty happy with what I have in starting pitching. You know, you mentioned Lamet and you mentioned Clevinger. But just think about the young guys. Like you said, Tony, you could honestly have a staff in a few years that has Patino, Weathers, Gore, and Mordejon. You know, and that's four guys right there that doesn't even include Clevinger and Lamet or Paddock or whoever else it is. So, to me, depth is really the main thing. But, again, you have to be careful when you find depth because you got to bring somebody in that's going to be willing to take a lesser role. I mean, you can't just sign a superstar player, you know, who's used to playing every day and say, well, we're going to put you on the bench and have you be the 10th man. I mean, that doesn't work. The Dodgers, to me, are very fortunate that they have a bunch of guys, evidently, and Dave Roberts does a magnificent job of mixing his lineup around, you know, to get guys like Kike Hernandez in there, to get the Chris Taylors in there, to get Will Smith and Austin Barnes and Jock Peterson and A.J. Pollock, get everybody at bats and keep them all happy. But that's hard to do. And, you know, guys are bench guys because they're bench guys. And it's hard to add depth unless you get the perfect guy who's willing to say, yeah, I'll come in and be kind of a fourth outfielder for you.
You know what's interesting is that the Dodgers didn't get there without any speed bumps, right? I remember when Muncy and Bellinger were unhappy because they were platooning in years past. So there's – Even when you bring in that depth, there's going to be some times where it's not going to go as smoothly. You got to get guys to accept their roles, and that's part of the managerial spot, right? That'll be tasked to Jace Tingler to keep everybody at least happy enough to be contributing. So we'll see how that goes. It's certainly going to be something I think everybody's watching. Let's take one more phone call before we go to break. Josh, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Friday to you. The floor is yours.
Hey, happy Friday to you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You're up.
What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Happy Friday. I'm really happy about the Padres season this year. I was pretty excited. I even got hyped a little bit after the game, even though they lost. You know, it was a pretty bad one, too. But I just want to get that out of the way now. Just one question I have really is about Will Myers. I mean, what do you guys see from him next year? I don't want to chalk up his success to like the short season with us, man, but that, slump he was in a little while there, it was pretty rough, man, especially after all we invested. And I'm just nervous, man, cause he was a big part of that success this season. And I'm kind of nervous with him, you know, a little bit. I mean, we were talking about trading him.
Good thing they listened to me and they didn't trade him.
Josh, I think that's a fair way to feel at this point. Thank you for the phone call. Chris, I think this is probably, out of everybody on the team, will be the most interesting case to watch next season. Because Will was, there was no doubt about it, was as big as a contributor as anybody on this team. Remember when Machado had his short slump of about 3 weeks to start the season, Myers was the one that was kind of filling that void. And then the Padres took off when Machado started going, because now you had Machado, Tatis, and Myers going. And we saw the type of offense that the Padres can have when you get those guys rolling. Now, I don't think it's something you can overlook, the fact that it was 60 games, because we've seen Will have terrific short stints and falter towards the end. And it just seemed like, more so than the mechanics part, he just seemed like he was in a good mental space this year. And you just hope that even in a long season, when it starts to grind on you, you know, come August when those dog days are kicking in, that he can stay in that fresh mental space, because I just thought there was a clear difference watching him play this year than there had been the past 2 years, when maybe he was putting a little more pressure on himself. But I think this is still going to be something that we're all watching and hoping that you get the same thing you got in 2020 from Will, because he's going to be with this team, I think, for the rest of his contract. I think he has 3 more years at about $20 million a year. It's not like you're going to be able to move that very easily, as we've seen. So I think it's in our best interest to root that he can continue to replicate what he did this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's a starting right fielder going into next year. That's not going to change between now and then. I mean, what might change is his performance a little bit next year, but you got to hope that Will Myers is in a comfortable spot, kind of tucked in behind Tatis and Machado and their stardom, and then Myers can just kind of quietly do his thing behind that neon sign that those two guys provide. So, I was very happy for Will Myers. Nothing guarantees that he'll have a great season next year. Nothing guarantees that anybody will have a great season next
Touché.
Year.
Touché.
And that's why there's always a little bit of bitterness when you lose, because you don't know for sure you're going to be back to this point next year. Everybody assumes you will be. But, you know, I caution fans, and football's a different sport. But Dan Marino thought he was going to the Super Bowl every single year after he got there in his second season, and he never got there again. So, there's never a total guarantee, and that's why, to me, there's a little bit of reason to be upset today because their season's over.
You don't even need Dan Marino to prove this. Tony Gwynn got there in his second full season, thought he would go back every year, and it took from 84 to 98 before he ever got back to another World Series. So it's certainly not ever guaranteed, and it does explain why you do have some folks that just can't get over it, because you're not guaranteed to get back. All right, let's get to break. Maybe we change gears a little bit. We're talking a lot of Padres. Let's talk some NFL when we return. The NFL has decided they've had enough of these coaches yelling with their masks down. They have a solution for it. We'll tell you about it when we return. This is Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station.
Welcome back at 3:22. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Matt Snyder will join us from CBSSports.com. We'll talk some more Padre baseball. The end of the 2020 season. Dodgers take out the Padres in a 3-game sweep. 12-3 was the final last night. As you know, this hour is brought to you by Smart Investing. Tune in Saturday mornings at 9 to 97.3 The Fan. Listen to the Smart Investing Show. Brent Wilsey, host of the show, has 40 years experience in finance and was recently picked as one of California's top investment advisors for 2020 by Forbes magazine. Smart Investing, 9 a.m. on 97.3 The Fan. Coming up, Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays, game number 5 of their American League Division Series at Petco Park. That starts around 4 o'clock this afternoon. We'll be keeping you up to date with that game. It's, of course, the only series to go the distance in the divisional playoff round. Everything else is set. Dodgers and Braves will start on Monday in Arlington, Texas. And the Houston Astros will await the winner of that Yankee-Tampa series. Also tonight, Tony's Lakers go for their, what would this be, Tony? About 17th NBA championship for the Los Angeles Lakers, or am I a couple behind?
I think it's 18.
18?
Ties them with the Celtics if they get this one tonight.
Ties them with the Celtics. And let me ask you, are you going to count this as a real championship?
1,000%.
I already know you are, yes. Scraby, I knew he'd be ready with the buzzer on that one.
Sorry, I don't count pickup games as NBA Finals championships.
Pickup games.
Listen, I had this argument with my guy Mike Palm yesterday in terms of the baseball World Series. Like, I am one of those people that, I won't count the statistics that were accumulated over 60. But the World Series is going to be earned just like any other year. I mean, to have to go through the COVID situation, you could argue this is just as hard as going through 162 in a normal year. So I think the same applies for championships in all of the sports. This has been a tough go. And we're seeing it right now in the NFL, right? I mean, it just feels like every other day. We felt like for about the last 5 days, somebody was coming up with COVID, and you start to wonder, man, is this season going to make it? And I think being under that stress I know it was a much shorter season in baseball. I know the NBA had 3 months off in between their while they had their hiatus. I just think that because of that, though, because of COVID-19, it's the championships are earned this year, and I won't put an asterisk on any of them.
I don't think anybody would put an asterisk by it. The only asterisk I would have put by the Lakers championship is kind of a competitive asterisk, and that certainly doesn't hold any weight. But the fact of the matter is the Lakers may have caught a break because the Clippers got eliminated by somebody else. They may have got a break because Milwaukee got eliminated by Miami and Boston got eliminated by Miami. But, hey, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. I mean, you know, play is who you play. And the Lakers had to play a full season to get to where they got, which was the number one seed in the West. And it's not their fault that the Clippers couldn't make it. And it's not their fault that Milwaukee came up short. And I'll tell you one thing, they've had their hands full with Jimmy Butler. I mean, he's given them every bit to work with. So, you know, I think a lot of people think the series will end tonight, but I will never, honestly look back on this Laker thing and say, well, this championship wasn't, fully earned. Because they've had to go through more than most teams ever have to try and win a championship. They've been stuck in a bubble. They've been there for about 2.5 months now, haven't they?
Are you kidding me? And then for the first 2 months, I don't believe they could have their family. They couldn't have nobody there until the playoffs started, I believe.
Correct.
Right. So,
you see, Russell Westbrook left $8,000 for the housekeeping.
I did. Shout out to Russell.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Leaving $8,000.
You know, that was my first thought, Chris, but I was going to be nice here.
Oh, you guys knock it off.
I mean, come 16.
Come on, leave a real tip, will you, please?
$16,000, and I would have been happy.
All right. NFL is not happy. Look, the NFL could be in some difficulty, and we're going to talk about it at length in the Big Five. But I saw this story this morning about the Jets being sent home after a positive COVID test. I haven't seen anything updated on that. I don't know if you have, Tony, in terms of the Jets and if there's anything, concerning their game coming up on Sunday scheduled against Arizona. But we know already that Denver, New England have moved back to Monday and Buffalo and Tennessee have moved back to Tuesday. And the NFL sent out a memo today, and they're going to be coming down pretty much on these coaches and on these players if they get into the face of officials, because the NFL is rightly concerned right now. Their season a little bit is hanging in the balance, I think.
I mean, listen, the thing, I don't know if you guys caught this, but Patrick Mahomes is having to isolate himself with his pregnant wife because after the game against the Chiefs, he went to just tell Gilmore, hey, good game, man, because he just out of respect for being one of the best, only for the next day to find out that Gilmore tested positive for COVID-19. So he's having to kind of isolate himself.
They were hugging against the rules.
Right.
Hugging right. against the rules.
But so rightfully so, the NFL is concerned, right? Because obviously during the game, it's one thing. But a lot of these dudes, I watched after the game last night, Nick Foles, after the game, is searching out the other team. Like, it's like, bro, you got to go to the locker room. You can't do this anymore. Like, you don't get to, you know, high five, shake hands. You can't do any of that.
Brady's a bad loser anyway, Nick. He wasn't going to come across right. and after that game, no matter what.
Well, that's another thing we'll talk about in the Big Five is actually following the rules and people being mad about it. So,
all right, we will. But Tony says, that's the latest NFL memo out, is that the penalties are going to be authorized if a coach. So it's going to be unsportsmanlike conduct now if a player gets into the face of an official and argues.
I mean, I didn't take it that way. Is that what they? I was taking it that the
coaches.
Well,
it says NFL officials have been authorized to penalize teams for unsportsmanlike conduct if a coach or someone else on the sideline approaches them while not wearing appropriate face coverings.
I guess you could say a player on the sideline could do it. That'd be weird.
Oh my God! All the time when a player thinks that there's pass interference and it wasn't called, they come running down the sideline
face right away.
That's a little much, in my opinion. 15 yards is a lot.
It's dangerous.
COVID-19 is a lot.
It is, but the guys are already around the players and everybody anyway. I mean, what do you
want to
see?
You want to finish this season or not? You better start making sure that these guys are careful, because I'm telling you, they're coming up on week five, and you got two games have already moved. You got a third game that's in jeopardy. This is this is getting a little dicey for the National Football League, and we'll see where it all goes. And like I said, I haven't seen anything further on this Jet story. I just saw it come out this morning that they got sent home because somebody apparently tested positive for COVID. But they asked the Arizona Cardinals about it and their general manager, and he said, oh, no, we're getting on the flight. We're going to New York right now. But that's been the NFL's attitude the whole time. Just no matter what's going on, we're playing.
Keep it moving.
But you know what? They can keep moving, but eventually this thing could grind to a halt. I hope it doesn't. I really don't. I love the NFL this year. It's giving me a great, great diversion, you know, two or three times a week to watch games and try to follow my fantasy team a little bit, and Tony and I making our picks. And let's be honest, as soon as the World Series is over, Tony, the NBA will be over and the NHL, we'll be back to, you know, living and dying with the NFL. So
yes,
they got to try and keep it going, but it's getting more and more difficult all the way. All right, when we come back, we will get to a Chris's Fantabulous game show. It'll be a little bit later in our program. We're on until 6 o'clock, so we have plenty of time to squeeze it in a little bit later on. We have a Big Five coming up later in the show as well. We have Chris versus the fans at in the 4 o'clock spot where it normally goes. We have a special countdown to close the show today at 5:35. But when we return, Matt Snyder, CBS Sports, he's been a big, big supporter of this Padre ball club all year long. He'll join us next. We'll get some of his thoughts after the Padres' elimination last night. So stick around for that. I'm Chris Ello for Tony Gwynn Jr. Gwynn and Chris coming on back right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
97.3 The Fan brings you the best guests in all of San Diego.
We're talking to Heath Bell here on Ben and Woods.
Barry Bonds, guy you faced in your career a few times, probably struck him out a few times, might have gotten you a couple of times. What do you feel about
him? Never got me.
Wow. Never got you? Never once?
Never got me.
Wow.
Never got me was a walk.
Damn.
Well, yeah.
Never got a hit off me.
Wow.
Hit, period.
That's crazy.
3:37 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, with you till 6 o'clock. Taking you into the weekend, of course, obviously the big subject today is the Padres and them going down in a 3-0 sweep to the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Dodgers move on to the NLCS to take on the Atlanta Braves. Want to remind our listeners, coming up at 5 o'clock, we're going to be qualifying listeners for our Gwynn and Chris Vegas Vacation Contest. All you need to do is answer a question about something from today's Gwynn and Chris show. If you know the answer, you can qualify for a chance to win a three-night stay with a round of golf for two and a $250 food and beverage credit at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. And joining us to talk a little bit about this Padres team, this man has been on the Padres before the season began and continued to follow this team. Matt Snyder, CBS Sports, joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Matt, how are you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, I'm good. Kind of a bittersweet meeting between us, though, isn't it? With the way it went down, and yeah,
we've been talking about it all show. It's a tough pill, at least for Chris and I, to swallow today, as that certainly wasn't the way we expected it to end. But I tell you what, although it was abrupt, you look back on this 2020 season, it certainly has been fun to watch. I got to ask you, Matt, as you watch this series, going up against probably one of the best teams in the entire league, some of the glaring needs might have popped up. What did you see that maybe the Padres need to address going into this next offseason?
I mean, some of them, but another part of it was without Lamet and with Clevinger only being able to go that one inning, it completely throws your plans out of flux. I mean, even if you're the Dodgers, as deep as they are, if Walker Buehler gets hurt in game one and then Clayton Kershaw is too hurt to go in game two, all of a sudden, we might be talking about a whole different ballgame here. I mean, so if the tables were turned, it could have been a totally different result. So while you would like to see probably more starting pitching depth, I still think that might come before next year naturally without even outside additions.
Right.
You might have to address the outfield a little bit. You're going to have to address the bullpen because you've lost several arms from the bullpen of free agency in all likelihood. But that's one of the easiest areas to shore up on the cheap. I think they're in really good shape moving forward.
Matt, is there any other way for the Padres to speed up the process in terms of catching the Dodgers, or is just baseball and sports being sports where you've got to kind of pay your dues, you got to go through the ups and the downs and the experiences? I mean, the Dodgers have been there so many times. The Padres, this is the first time they've been there, most of them. And it seemed to show a little bit during the course of this series.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's always some things you can be doing. And if you look ahead to next year, even if you have, let's say, Lamet and Clevinger are healthy all year, we don't know about Paddock. There's still a lot of upside. He's far too young to give up on. We don't know if Mackenzie Gore is going to come totally around. I like Davies a lot, but to count on him as like a third ace, if you will, going into, let's say, they make the NLCS against the Dodgers next year, for example, I don't know about that. Meanwhile, you've got somebody like Trevor Bauer sitting there in free agency who says he only wants to sign one-year deals. By all means, go nuts and do something like that. Marcus Stroman. Right. We don't know what it's going to take to get Marcus Stroman. What if it's not going to take that much? Somebody like that, another veteran there to where you don't have to say, we love Lamet and Clevinger at the top of the rotation, then we're going to go with Paddock, Davies, and let's say Mackenzie Gore after that. You kind of have three question marks after those top two there. Maybe let's soften the blow by adding another starting pitcher, and then you only have two question marks. Now that's not as big of a deal. So maybe rotation, maybe back into the bullpen. I love Pomeranz. There's upside in some of the other guys they have, but I know Yates was out for the overwhelming majority of the year, but he's a free agent now. Trevor Rosenthal's a free agent. Maybe you try to bring him back. Maybe you try to go nuts for Liam Hendricks, who's a free agent, and you saw how much of a beast he can be in the playoffs in that series against the Astros. Probably like one big bullpen arm and a veteran starter he can throw toward the top of the rotation would be the biggest areas I would want to kind of go outside the organization to address.
Now, Matt, you've been on this squad for long, so you followed this team and their pipeline. AJ Preller's in an interesting position here because last year they didn't address the starting rotation because they didn't want to block any of the young guys.
Yeah.
Now, we've seen a few of those young guys throughout the course of the season that look promising. Adrian Morde-Holmes won. Luis Patino's another one. We got a chance to see a few of the young guys, but we didn't get a chance to see Mackenzie Gore. Now,
yeah,
obviously Mackenzie is still going to be highly regarded. And don't let me forget Ryan Weathers, who popped up in his major league debut in the playoffs, by the way, against this
Dodger
team.
Yeah, how great was that?
Right. So if you're AJ Preller and your idea last year was you didn't want to clog up any rotation spots and you got a slew of young guys on the way, do you dabble in free agency in terms of starting pitching, or do you put that focus mainly on the bullpen, as you said? Because you still, if you bring in a Stroman or you happen to bring in a Bauer on a one-year deal, you're still taking up a position for one of those young guys.
Correct. I would say two things to that. Number one, there's definitely merit to that, and if you want to focus only on the bullpen and say we trust our young guys in the rotation, I'm fine with that too. But the second point is the calculus has changed now. You had the second-best record in the National League. You're not a 72-90 team. All of a sudden, things are a lot different now. Expectations from the fans are going to be bigger. Expectations from the players are going to be bigger, from the rest of the front office, from manager Jace Tingler. There's a lot. It's a lot different than it was last year at this time. So, and that's what you want. You want the expectations to be higher. But now that they're higher, maybe it's not good enough anymore to say, hey, we really think Mackenzie Gore can have a big year, when you've got a chance to sign a guy who might win the National League Cy Young.
Matt Snyder is with us from CBSSports.com, joining us to talk some Padre baseball, and outstanding baseball guy, and really been on this Padre ball club. He told everybody else out there what we already knew heading into the season, and that this Padre team is on the cusp of something special. How should the Padre fans look back at this season overall, Matt, now that, you know, we're kind of stepped into the off season a little bit? I know the wound is still a little bit fresh, but
I get it.
You know, in terms of what they accomplished this year, did they accomplish as much or maybe even a little bit more than you thought that they were capable of doing in terms of gaining ground on, you know, getting to where they eventually want to go, which obviously is a championship?
If we look at the regular season, I would say more. I thought they were going to be like let's say, where the Reds ended up. Like, around a 7-ish seed, you're kind of scary. A lot of people thought the Reds might knock off the Braves in the first round. I thought that's where the Padres would be, but they weren't just kind of scary because of the rotation. They were legitimately scary to make a deep run, and they got derailed by two unfortunate injuries. I wish those didn't happen, but I think, as I wrote in my column today, I think that this season is going to be one that's going to be looked back on with great fondness in the San Diego area. And I kind of drew on a personal experience there. I didn't want to put it in the column because I didn't want to make it look like it was about anything else except the Padres. But I'm a Cubs fan. I think you guys knew that.
Yes,
I saw so much 2015 Cubs in this team as I was watching them, especially when the Padres came back when it looked like they were about to get swept by the Cardinals. And then you get that three-run Tatis bomb, then the Machado bomb to tie it. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is seriously like I'm watching the 2015 Cubs again. I just wish there were fans in the stands so you could see how crazy they were going. Yeah, but right. I feel like this was like the year before the year, and that it doesn't necessarily mean the Padres are going to win it all next year. But it was like you're coming off 72 wins. You're hopeful that the team can be pretty good. And then you're starting to see it actually come to fruition. I feel like if they do win a World Series, that's definitely going to be the team that the Padres fans look most fondly upon. But the second most fond team they look back on will be 2020, because they'll say it started right there. It started in 2020 when we saw this team come together, what they can actually do on the field. Not potential, not maybe we'll be good in the future. No, here's how good we are right now, and it's only going to get better.
Matt Snyder, CBS Sports, joins us here on the SDCC Fan Hotline. And, Matt, I have one more question about the free agency part, because I wonder – as a former player, right, you're watching these games, especially as the playoffs are going, and Stroman comes to mind because he was at home watching all of these games. And you see the type of personality, the type of fun the Padres are having, you know, as a rising team in this league. Do you think that's going to have an impact on some of these other players as they've watched this team kind of go from being a doormat to one of the teams that is literally the most exciting team to watch during the season?
I would sure think so. I mean, it's. Yeah. I mean, you would know better than me. I've never been a free agent in Major League Baseball before, but I've got to think, starting already with the city of San Diego, the gorgeous weather. I mean, let's face it, even guys who come from cold weather, nobody likes playing in the cold. Don't give me that.
No.
Nobody likes playing baseball in the cold. So first of all, you've got San Diego weather. Beautiful ballpark, beautiful area around the ballpark. The problem was, for so many years, it's a perpetual loser. You don't want to sign to go somewhere and lose. You had to knock over guys like Eric Hosmer and Manny Machado just to sign there. But now you've got a lot of momentum with winning. The element of, hey, we're awesome at everything except winning, that's gone now. Now we're awesome at winning too. You would think it would be a destination, and you could get guys to take less money to go there. You would think. I mean, well, let's see it. But I get the feeling that you're going to see guys take less money to go there.
Mm, that would be sweet.
That's what all of us have done to come here. So, you know, if we can do it, the ball players can do it.
Hey, I don't blame you, man. I don't blame you. I've only been there like three times, and I never want to leave every time I'm there.
Matt Snyder is with us from CBS Sports. Real quick, Matt, I know you got to roll, and thanks so much for your time. But just give me a quick preview of Dodgers-Braves. I know the Braves are probably thinking they got a pretty good shot here. I mean, they just pitched four shutouts in five games, and obviously they can hit. But do they have any chance to stack up against this powerhouse Dodger team?
Yeah, I think they do. One problem is they just had a bye last round. I don't know. There's probably not any Marlins fans there, so I'm okay to say that.
Yeah, I think you're good. I think you're good.
Yeah, their offense is so good. It's so stacked. Yeah. It's so powerful. So is the Dodgers. But you're going to need Freed to be on, which he actually was not against the Marlins. You're going to need Ian Anderson to be on. They have a really good bullpen. I could see the Braves winning it. The Dodgers are better. But I'll tell you this. I think it's going to be really, really fun. If both teams play well, and I expect that they will, I kind of feel like it could go seven. It kind of is similar to what I think the Padres series could have been if they had their two big guns atop the rotation. Yeah. I feel like this and the Braves are missing Soraka. But they've got Freed and Anderson going really well right now. So I think the Dodgers are going to win, but I do not think it's going to be easy.
Matt, listen, from the very beginning, as I said at the lead of this interview, you were telling everybody who would listen that this Padre team was a team to watch out for. You were spot on. Kudos to you for that. Appreciate you coming on all year long. And as we get into the free agency portion, we'll probably connect with you again, get you back on the show. We appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for the kind words. I really, really appreciate it.
Thanks,
man. Just telling the truth. Matt Snyder, CBS Sports, there on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. SDCCU Online and Mobile Banking lets you do your banking from your smartphone. Message and data rates may apply. For details, visit SDCCU.com. Let's check traffic. Kelly Danik. Well, I tell you what, Chris.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I tell you what, man. Chris, I mean, Matt has a funny way of making you feel better about everything that just
happened.
Yeah,
I feel pretty
right?
good now. Did we really lose to the Dodgers or what? I didn't even notice.
We do have Chris versus the Fan coming up at the top of the 4 o'clock hour.
I got to tell you that we just had a CBS Sports guy on, so this is a good time for this. I'm kind of angry at ESPN right now, .com.
Uh-oh. What did ESPN do?
Well, I'm a little angry. Go to, if you have your computer, yeah, go to your computer,
I got my computer
if you have
open.
It nearby. Go to ESPN.com and go to the MLB homepage.
Okay.
And there's a picture of Freddie Freeman there slapping high five with Marcell Ozuna.
Yes.
All right. And then underneath it says Braves Dodgers NLCS. And then it says expect fireworks as MLB's two best offenses meet. I'm not happy with that.
Why not?
Because I think the Padres are just as good as the Braves offensively.
I'm pretty sure that if the Padres got to this point, they would still say the same thing.
Yeah, but they're saying baseball's two best offenses meet. That means the Braves and the Dodgers have the best two offenses. And I take exception to that as a Padre guy.
Interesting.
I think the Braves are good. I know the Dodgers are really good. They just proved it. I think the Padres got a great offense, too. And we'll see what the Braves can do against this Dodger pitching staff. And more importantly, there is no way the Braves are throwing four more shutouts against the Dodgers. I mean,
no
they just
shot.
They just played the Reds, who can't do anything but hit a home run. And they just played the Marlins, who can't do anything, period. So now the Braves are going to have their hands full. And we're going to see how they see what kind of at-bats they have when they're under pressure and trailing against the Dodgers, kind of like the Padres had to. Padres didn't have very many at-bats with the lead in that series, Tony, if any.
No,
you know what I'm saying? The Dodgers were only behind fire for an inning or two. I think you can speak to this, but when you're batting down by two or three runs, it's a little different than when you're up by two or three runs and your pitchers are throwing shutouts. I don't want to knock the Braves too much. I want to give them credit for what they deserve. But they won the Eastern Division this year. I think a far easier setup. They beat a Miami Marlin team that is nowhere near what the Dodgers and the Padres could bring. I think the Braves are going to get exposed a little bit in this championship series. I do.
To play devil's advocate,
yeah,
which I like to do
pretty
much all the time.
I like when you do it.
Some would argue the NL West had a very easy go of it when you consider the three teams in the American League West were below 500. The Padres had the Diamondbacks and the Rockies in their side, and obviously the Giants turned out to be a little bit better than most people predicted. But that's the crazy part about this year, right, is that everybody played in division, so we really don't know what anybody else has outside of division. I think that's why the matchup with the Cardinals was so interesting, because we hadn't seen them before. We didn't know what to expect out of those guys. So I think you're right. We're gonna find out if the Braves' offense is as good as advertised, because they didn't have as difficult of a matchup, I think, as the Padres did in that DS side of the bracket. So we'll see. By the way, having that the Yankees were in Petco with Tampa Bay, got a chance to see some of those games. And I don't mean this in any way. I think you can see Tyler Glasnow is going up against Gerrit Cole. I don't know if you guys, they kept panning in on Glasnow. Is he not like the most beautiful man on the planet Earth?
What?
Oh, is he? I didn't pan in. I didn't see that.
That is not where I thought you were going with that.
They had a picture next to him and Ian Snell sitting next to each other. And it was like, I mean, Mark Mudcat Grant was sitting next. He's like, Tony, is that not the most beautiful man you've ever seen in your life?
Tyler Glasnow, huh?
And I was like, Wow, he actually might be, as a matter of fact.
I might have to keep my wife away from the baseball to the TV screen tonight. I don't want her flipping out watching Tyler Glasnow pitch.
He kind of looks like that guy from Batman Begins, like the villain, Scarecrow, a little bit. You know what I'm talking about?
I can see that. Yeah, I can see that a little bit. But, yeah, that was just kind of a thought off the top of the mind. I just had
to. Is that a Mudcat thing or both of you? I can see Mudcat going there because his
Mudcat brought it to my
ways.
Attention. Mudcat brought it to my attention, and I just co-signed it. I was like, you know what, man? You might be right, Mudcat.
But we also know who is actually the most beautiful man in sports, and his name is Jimmy Garoppolo. So.
Oh, my goodness. Look at this guy's blue eyes.
Wait a second.
Just kidding.
Wait a second.
Joking. Joking.
Chris was on your side for a second, Tony.
Yes. It's a handsome fellow.
I honestly believe now that everybody's heard that and they go look, I don't think many people will disagree with me.
He's a handsome fellow, but I don't think the Rays care about that. They care about him getting people out tonight. So we'll see about that.
Getting people out while looking amazing.
What is he pitching on, like one day rest?
Yeah, he just pitched the other day. Yeah.
I think it's like two or three at the three at the most.
It's not much. All right, that game five is getting started at 4 o'clock. Who's taking us out? Me?
You are.
Chris versus the fans is coming up. 833-2.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.